We all wish we could talk to animals. As it turns out, we can. Animal Connections with Laura Rowley explores the nature of interspecies communication. What are our animals trying to tell us? Animals commune through love, a force that opens all doors. Listening to them teaches us how to be better humans. Why? We can trust them to tell us the deepest truth about who we are and how one can grow into a more powerful version of self. Laura shares over 20 years of stories and wisdom learned from her work as an animal communicator in this hard and thought-provoking show.
Welcome. I'm Laura Rowley, and you can listen to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on Syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every Friday at 9 a.m. or 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can listen online or on your mobile devices. To learn more and for a full schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for Omega Institute. This is Laura Rowley, and I'm your hostess for the Animal Connections with Laura Rowley show. You can reach me at my website if you'd like to have a reading or organize a workshop in your area. My website is laurarowleyhealer.com. So LaurarowleyHealer.com. I'm available for private sessions by phone. I do most of my work remotely. So most people phone me with their questions or their concerns about their animals because they'd like to connect a little more deeply. And I act as an interface or a messenger between you and your animal about whatever it is that is worrying you. The workshops usually are geared more towards spiritual development. I also do riding lessons based for whole barns based on what the horse wants to hear or what the horse is looking for from you as the rider. I've done lots of work with groups that have like emotional support animals. How do we support the emotional support animal is sort of the topic of those workshops. They work hard for us. How do we help them in return? Are they comfortable? Are they happy? Do they need a break? Are they burned out? All kinds of things you can figure out when you just ask them directly. So people use my services for that reason. And I am infinitely grateful for that ability to provide that service and that people accept it and enjoy it and use it for the good that it is intended to do. So today we're going to talk about really good and how it can be attended to and how we can amp it up in our world. The title of my show today is Animals as Angels. So let's talk first just a little bit, you know, like what is an angel? I did some research when I was thinking about how to talk about this because I was curious to see how open people were to the idea of angels. And I found a couple of different references to various surveys that were done where they said that 85% of people seem to ultimately believe in angels. So what is it they're believing in? The best definition of an angel that I could find or that I think of whenever I think of an angel is that they are messengers of source energy or of godlike energy. They are powerful spiritual beings and they're in tune to humans and their path and their difficulties. They're here to ease that, to make it smoother. They're here to amplify, I believe, what is good in us or what can be right and just in us so that things like goodness and justice can become stronger things in the world. So the idea there is if you support the good guys, you're supporting the good. And that's where angels fall. That's what they want. Is there evil in the world? A lot of people ask me about that. Of course there is. And so we can fight evil, and sometimes we are forced to do so, but it might be better sometimes and smarter to use spiritual avenues to actually promote good, because when you promote the good guys, evil becomes less strong, less pervasive, less of a thing. Sounds kind of self-explanatory, but humankind with our egos, we tend to want to get into battle with things and fight with things in our everyday world because we see them as evil or unjust. The trouble with that is that then we start to focus on everything that is evil or everything that is unjust, and that can get us focusing on the very thing that it would be really better that we didn't focus on. So it's better if we focus on good stuff, beauty, joy, love. And I know that sounds sort of, rose-colored glasses thinking. I'm a child of the 60s. I was born in 1961, and, we were kind of the age of where it was the age of Aquarius, and we listened to our older brothers and sisters tell us that, good was coming, the world was changing, and we had to embrace, all these higher ideals of love and togetherness so that we had a groovy world, right? That's what we were told. So now we look at our world and we think, things don't seem so groovy. We've had wars. We've had pestilence. Now we're worried about famines because of those wars and the pandemic. So did we only see the world in the 60s and 70s with rose-colored glasses, and should the rest of us who are younger ignore all that nonsense? Or should we continue to have hope and, pray for more of the good to come through, because we can surprise ourselves when we do that. The universe responds to our intentions and to our desires. The more they are amped up by our glee and our joy and our enthusiasm, the more the message gets through to the angelic realm that we do, in fact, want to fight for good, not fight against evil. When you fight against something, you tend to make it stronger. All right. If you ever have someone, you're in a good mood and somebody says something sarcastic to you and it hurts you, the next thing you know, you're maybe zinging them back, and then they're zinging you back, and all of a sudden you have this zinging going up and up and up, and everybody's getting a little madder and worse because we're up in opposition of one another. Our egos are trying to conquer the other person, to be more right, to not look stupid, whatever the case may be. In other words, fear is evoked. So whenever fear is evoked, and whenever we talk about dark and heavy and awful things, fear gets evoked, our ego usually chimes right in there and rises to defend us. Nothing wrong with that. The trouble is that it'd be a lot more peaceful of an existence if we, in fact, just focused on letting it slide a little bit. I think Jesus recommended turning the other cheek. That's what I think he was talking about. In other words, it's more peaceful if we don't let everything escalate and we find a peaceful way to end our day or a peaceful way to end that unpleasant conversation. Or maybe we take a look at ourselves and think, well, how did I add to that? Did I make it worse or did I make it better? So in my practice with animals, I'm always hearing what the animals perceive that we are doing in relationship to those to that idea of, are we working on what we want to fight, like the dark stuff, or are we working on the good stuff? And they fall very hard and heavy, animals do, on helping us be better and work on the good stuff. I do hundreds of readings every month, and there's never a reading where the animal is trying to convince you to do something that's bad or ugly. Sometimes they're doing something that's naughty or making us unhappy to get our attention so that they can try to lead us to the good. I think most people would agree with me that have an animal they really love in their life, or have had many animals in their lives that they really love, that they bring us to goodness by loving us as honestly and with such devotion as they do. You can always count on your dog or your cat or your horse or your gerbil. You know, if they love you, they're going to be there when you open the cage, open the stall, open your house door and say, hey, I'm home. They say, yippee, I've been waiting for you. You're everything to me. So who doesn't love to hear that, right? So that idea there is very angelic. It's very much like what the angels want to promote in us. They say, we're here for you. Use us to amplify good, and maybe we can conquer all that dark stuff together. So when I asked the question earlier in this talk about animals as angels, what I really mean is that they are healers and guides just like an angel. They want to help us be happier, really, because if we're happier, it means we're participating in something good. The angelic realm, some people get to see it quite a bit, other people less so. I've had the privilege of having angels talk to me while I'm talking to animals, or even doing my own work praying for myself, or even working with a client, a human client. They don't usually identify themselves, and I'm not a person that knows who they are. I think other people who are mediums maybe can do that better than I can do that. I just know because my hair stands up on end, and I feel this like, oh, amazing hope rise in my chest. And I think, oh, there's someone really powerful here who's going to help me help maybe a person I'm on the phone with. That happens very frequently to me. There's classes of angels. And I think that animals are maybe sort of the class of angel that is closest to us on this earth. They're more flawed than their upper angels would be. Like we have angels, we have archangels. Some people say there are 7 archangels. I've heard other people say there are more. No doubt there are more. In a lot of the religious traditions, there are 7 big archangels. And so archangel, the word arch just means like overreaching or like above other things, right? So the archangels each have sort of a territory that they work with, or an area that they work with, and they send out and help orchestrate other bodies of spiritual energy, like animals or angels, to sort of radiate that message down to us so that we can grab a hold of it, feel it, have our hair stand up on end and think, ah, I've got a solution to this problem that feels really good. So it's a little bit like the sun. If you think of the sun as source energy, or so we'll call it the source or the universe or God, archangels help sort of send the energy of the light to the earth. They even call it the light if you talk in a lot of different spiritual traditions. And that light can sometimes be in the form of an animal to us. In other words, are they a little angelic thing with wings and a robe? Animals? No. But they're participating in the light in the same way that a sunbeam participates in the sun. That's a kind of a good way to think about them. So they're interwoven in all of our belief systems, or in many belief systems. And most people, when you start to talk about angels, get a little uncomfortable because they're not sure that they're being fooled or they're making it up or there isn't such a thing. But I think that's a little bit of a waste of time. Like skepticism and things like this don't really serve you. It just sort of makes you feel, oh, I'm smarter than that. I'm not going to believe in that nonsense. And I don't know. Why not believe in something that's good and always helps us? Because that helps us open our mind, open our hearts, and find better solutions. Even if you want to be a skeptic and not be belief written about the thing, I am deeply faithful about it and know that they exist because I've actually spoken to higher beings that I would call angels, as have many people. I think almost everyone on the planet has and has had unique experiences that they wonder, was that an angel? So my advice to you is believe that it was an angel, because I think they're extremely prevalent. You don't have to be a medium or a psychic to talk to them. They're there to be spoken to. And in most of the scriptures and most of the religions, they're all considered messengers of God of some sort. So I'm not the only one, or a psychic isn't the only one, or a priest or a rabbi aren't the only ones that can receive wisdom from God. We can all go directly to the source ourselves and ask the angels for a little help. And that's what they're there for, so that we don't need third parties to be spiritual. We can just be that in and of ourselves. Some of the archangels that a lot of people are aware of would be like Michael the archangel. Michael is considered the archangel of protection. He's supposed to be the most powerful angel that cast Satan from heaven down into hell. That's what he is credited for. He's considered to be a warrior. He protects warriors. He protects people that are warriors, like policemen or judicial people that are trying to make justice work for the good of everyone and the good of those that are harmed. So that's a really an interesting one, because I think a lot of the animals I speak to when I'm doing my readings are of sort of that Michael the Archangel energy. So that sounds a little strange, but you know how, like, particularly with dogs, I see this a lot. You know, they are so loyal. Like, they won't leave our sides, and if someone comes near us, they'll bark. One of the most common things I deal with people is they call up to complain that when another person approaches them and they have their dog on the leash, the dog gets aggressive. They call it leash aggression is the term. So he gets barking because why? On some level, he's trying to protect his person. That's really always some idea that the animal has. It might not be that the person's actually in jeopardy, but if the dog is in doubt, he loyally leaps to the foreground and says, "That's okay, I've got you. I've got this. Let me help you. I'm going to defend you from that person walking up to you who might be the mailman or your friend." So if you start to see that the various archangels that have different characteristics are often emblematic of animals in your life, like if animals are behaving in a way trying to protect you. I have a friend, I met her, I used to go to her house years ago when I did in-house readings, and she had a lot of animals. So I used to go over to her house, and her cats ran to the door when anyone came to the door. And if they didn't like you, they were kind of intimidating, and they hissed, and they marked. They could be kind of obnoxious. So she called me because she wanted me to help her fix that problem. But I could see right away they just wanted to protect her in a cat-like way from anything entering her life that maybe was not in her highest and best good. They liked me, fortunately, because they could see, I think, that, oh, she's all right. She's here to help. When I tried to help her with their bad habit of marking and hissing at strangers, they kind of laughed, like, why would we stop doing that? This is who we are. We are here to help her. So when I told her about that, she got thinking about it, and she said, well, can you just fix this? I thought that's what you did. You know, I paid you a lot of money to come over here. What's going on with that, you know? And I said, well, you know, what is it that needs fixing? You know, are you feeling defensive? Do you feel afraid? Like, when the Archangel Michael comes around, it's usually because we're afraid. So it turns out that she was very afraid, and we sat down and got talking about it. Had a burglary when she was younger. She had a lot of security systems in the house. She was very afraid of being invaded that way again because it was kind of a violent thing. No one was fortunately really harmed, but it was a close call. And so she really needed to process with me, with her cats, and ultimately with the therapist, some post-traumatic stress syndrome about feeling like she could get attacked again. That's why the cats were behaving this way. They were showing her, you're still afraid, and we're going to help you with that. So the more we worked on it, I went back many times later to do various issues with the cats. And every time I came to the door, they would all run and hiss. But it was almost comical then. They were almost doing it in a kind of funny way. And she said the whole thing had calmed down and gotten better because she'd calmed down and found the goodness in herself. So that's when you know angel work is happening, is when you find the goodness in yourself, or the peaceful in yourself, or the confidence to face the fear. because fears are really what the dark side is all about. You know, there's no greater fear than being afraid. Sounds silly, but if you can get over being afraid, all of a sudden nothing's a big deal anymore, right? So you're listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Animal Connections with Laura Rowley is an intuitive show created for you to learn what it's like to talk to animals. Laura shares 20 years of experiences of being a pet psychic and healer every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, media partner for the Omega Institute. Our beloved animals share our lives and have amazing insights into our well-being, providing us with opportunities for personal growth once we truly begin to listen. It's fun to use animal wisdom to enhance our emotional and spiritual world. Who better than our furry friends to teach us the wisdom born of unconditional love? What if your dog, cat, or horse could help you with your love life? What would they suggest? It's fun to think about and a wonderful way to conduct yourself. After all, animals know well how to love and invite us to love them unconditionally. That's a pretty great way to live life. Animals always communicate with our highest good as their central focus, even when sometimes we feel stymied or frustrated with their behavior. Visit laurarowleyhealer.com to book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading. Laura's readings and workshops help you find the part of you that's able to tune in and connect to your amazing animals. Laura Rowley believes we can all understand by listening differently. Book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading now by going to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LauraRowley healer.com.
Quantum Jumps presents a radical new paradigm that we exist in an interconnected holographic multiverse in which we literally jump from one parallel universe to another. In a moment, you can become smarter, more confident, happier, more outgoing, more effective, in better relationships, with more willpower. When you sense a new connection to another possible you, living the life you'd prefer, immerse yourself naturally into that new state of being. And voila, you've made a quantum jump. Supported by scientific research, Quantum Jumps is an inspirational book backed with practical tools to help you live a happier, more prosperous life. Learn more at quantumjumps.com.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
Open up to and feel the presence of angels and other loving figures in an environment filled with support, delight, and humor with angel intuitive Michael Andre Ford. Angels are happy to assist with all matters and shed light on your unique life path and opportunities. Mention discount code DREAM for 20% off when you register for Meet the Angels at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, July 29th to the 31st. Learn more at eomega.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. This is Laura Rowley, and you are listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley. I'm on every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to be able to do this work, which I hope makes everyone feel a little more peaceful, a little happier in the animal kingdom as well as the human kingdom. That's the goal of the whole show. So thanks for joining me. We're talking about angels, and I was moving through the idea of the different archangels and how they kind of cast a beam of energy, if you will, that we can grab a hold of and use when we are feeling like we need some light. So if we're in the darkness, if we can use that metaphor a little bit more, and we think, oh, I need somebody to cast a little light on this, the angels are there. The angelic realm will help us. The quicker we call, the quicker they can answer us. Sometimes we're stubborn creatures and we do not call, myself included. And so we have animals in our lives, lots of us, that kind of poke us and prod us and say, you need some help and you're not asking for it. Because we often distract ourselves so that we don't actually recognize a couple of things. We might not recognize that we, A, have a problem, or that we're focused on a dark thing versus a good thing. And the other thing is, we might not really realize that there's help available, so we don't ask for what we need. Very common in mankind to think, oh, I can handle this, or I handle everything. I spoke to a woman many times over the course of the last 20 years. She's had a lot of animals, and she trains horses. So she's worked through a lot of stuff with them, with me. Her name is Gabriella, and she said, I'm not calling you about one of my horse troubles today. I'm calling you about my own dog. And she said that Zach was the dog's name. Zach is giving me a hard time, and I'm not really sure what to do about it. It seems like every time I fix a problem with Zach, he comes up with another thing that he does wrong. Like, so I said, well, what do you mean? So she started to say, well, you know, I take him to the barn with me every day because that's my workplace, and the students come and the horses come, and I'm trying to get through my list of all the animals that I have to ride that day and all the lessons they have to ride, and Zach is underfoot. He's chasing the cats in the barn. I have to get off the horse, ask somebody to hold the horse, go find Zach, protect the cat, lock him up in the tack room until I get done. Then he cries because he's in the tack room and he really wants to be with me. So then a client will come and complain because now he's howling in the tack room. If I let him loose and I maybe put him in a little crate near where I'm riding, then he starts to bark and the horse gets scared that I'm riding. So he was just this constant annoyance. So I said, so you're being annoyed by Zach. So I asked Zach what was going on. And he said, well, that's what she likes. She likes to be annoyed. And I said, oh, dear. I knew you were going to say something like that, Zach. I could tell he was a smarty pants, right? So Zach said that Gabriella was in charge of a lot of people and a lot of animals. And she saw herself as organizing everyone's troubles and helping everyone with the things that they weren't doing well with. Like if you were afraid of your horse, she rode her horse for you. If you didn't know how to jump your horse, she taught you how to jump the horse, or she got on the horse and jumped the horse. So I said to her, Gabriella, Zach said that you are always like protecting everyone that comes to your barn and helping them, which is lovely. Do you like your job? And she, you know, she started to laugh. She said, I love it, but he's just picking up on the fact that I'm completely burned out. And really, I want to talk about why Zach always distracts me. Part of why I'm burned out is because he's such a brat, is basically what she said. And he said, well, I'm just behaving like everyone else here because that's how you get attention. Right? And she said, well, I don't think of my clients as brats or their horses as brats. I'm training them to be athletes. And I said, I know, but who do you take care of first? And she said, the ones that complain the most. And I said, well, that's why you're burned out, right? And she said, right. She's gotten in the habit of sort of responding to the squeakiest wheel in her business. And this can happen in any business. This happens to be a training barn. But you could sell computers and you could still be guilty of this sin, where whoever calls and complains the most, whines the most, screams at you the most, ends up being the person that you take care of first because you just have to get it over with and it's embarrassing and you want to be done with it. So it turns out that Zach was just sort of mimicking what he saw, because he's a smart guy, as a dog. If you want to get mom's attention, you have to kind of be a jerk, right? I'll whine, I'll scream, I'll holler. It works. He became the squeakiest wheel in the barn. So Gabrielle said, well, all right, I get that, but what do I do about it? Can you still fix Zach for me? And I said, well, I think you're the one that needs to be fixed. Laughingly, You know, only if you want to be fixed, who am I to tell you what to do? And I'm not judging you. But if you're not happy this way and you just told me you were burned out, maybe you should start to think about the model by which you respond to people asking for help. Maybe they need to ask politely, get on your schedule, don't barge ahead of everyone else and say, I'm more important and I need help now. They get their help on the day that they're supposed to get their help. Like, maybe she needed to structure her business more around her needs versus letting everybody barge in and just grab the attention from her. And she said, oh, I'd love to see that happen. And I said, well, I don't know. I thought it could happen if you thought about it. You know, if you talk to a life coach, or maybe you just need to make a little list yourself of, you know, what is it I offer for people every day and organize it accordingly and tell people that, you know, there's no such thing as an emergency in your barn unless it's a medical emergency. Everybody just sort of waits their turn based on the program that I've set up here. So that was a revelation for her. And she was young. She was like, back then, she was probably in her early 30s, so kind of young to be running a whole business. She's older now. We've been doing a lot of calls together, and I go to her barn and I do workshops over the years. She's well past that stage, and she's figured it out that she doesn't need to run to people. She can let them work around her. And as she grew in her awareness that she was the most important person in her own life and started to treat herself with respect, her clients started to treat her with respect. She got way happier. We did lots of sessions, like once a month. She called me for a while. I think she worked with a therapist. And Zach, of course, calmed right down and stopped doing all that. He still had to be, you know, reminded, you know, from a behavioral point of view, like, no, that's not right, sit down. But even her doing that was a boundary. She was saying, look, what I'm doing is a little more important than you wanting me to look at you right now or pet you, so I'm sorry, you're just going to have to wait. So she had to get firmer with everybody, including Zach. The minute she did that, like, her life turned around, and so did the dog's behavior. So that's the kind of thing an angel does for you, is they don't just solve a problem for you. They help you learn how to solve problems for yourself better. Because somewhere along the way, you're not realizing that you are maybe of God or of the higher self that deserves to be treated with respect and love, and not be pushed around by other people, for instance. Right? So, that's how you know there's an angel around you, when they ultimately push you to help yourself. Paleo. He was injured and turned out as a elderly horse about a year ago. He'd been a show horse his whole life, and a creature that lived in a beautiful stall, and they kept it beautiful. He had clear, crisp water, changed twice a day, and he lived alone. Because they didn't want him to get injured. As a show horse, they can't go with all kinds of bites and marks on them into the show ring. It looks like they've been ill-treated. It's just not done. So people tend to not turn their horses out with other animals. So when I talked to Camelia back a couple years ago, she said, you know, it's time for him to retire. He's gotten arthritic, and asked, you know, how did he feel about retirement? And he said, oh, yes, he wanted to do it, and he wanted to be turned out with other horses, when she asked. So she said, oh, he's never done this before. Is he sure? And I said, yeah, he's a herd animal. He wants to be with others of his kind. You know, yeah, he's sure. So she kind of dragged her feet about the whole thing. She wasn't very comfortable about just throwing him out with other horses to live in a herd. You know, they got fed twice a day and taken care of, but minimally, you know, much more closer to nature. He said he wanted to do it. So, of course, when she does this and she trusts herself to do this, which was really hard for her to do and let go of control, she turned him out, and he got really beaten up by the other horse that he was in there with. Because for some reason, Paleo thought that it was a good idea to eat out of the same bucket as the other horse, even though there were two buckets about 8 feet apart, and he could have just moved over to the other bucket. The person that was feeding him couldn't get him to stay to the other bucket. He'd always go to this bucket to share with the other horse, who was getting mad and would bite him. So Camelia called me up weeping. She goes, I knew he'd get all beat up. Oh, my God, what have I done to him? I've cast him out with this horse. And, oh, you know, tell him to forgive me. And so then he said, well, why am I forgiving her? You know, I don't get it. And I said, well, she feels like she let you down. You got hurt. And he said, well, I'm the one that was eating out of the same bucket as the other horse. The other horse was trying to tell me to stop it, and I ignored him. And I said, well, why did you do that to yourself? And he said, well, I'm rusty with other horses. I've never have shared any space with them. There's always been bars or fences between me and them, and I kind of just didn't know what I was doing, I guess. I didn't pick up on social skills, signals. That's not her fault. I don't know why she's blaming herself. I figured it out now, and I think I'm doing better. And I don't want to leave this other horse. He actually is a protector to me. He was teaching me the rules, which are we each eat in our own buckets, and we all need our own space. He said, I don't know why she thinks the rules are different and that she's supposed to be in charge of me when I'm in charge of me. So I explained that to Camelia, and she started to laugh. And she goes, it's true, actually, there's less bite marks on him than there was the first week we did this. And it seems like he's getting better at this. And I said, well, he's happy. And he doesn't really want you to assume that you have to be the traffic cop in his life, you know, telling him, go here, go there, and protecting him. That's what you've done your whole life to him. And that is another angelic thing. Angels don't and won't tell us what to do. Like, they leave us a little bit to our own devices so that we can figure out what doesn't work, because it doesn't feel good and it doesn't feel like we're barking up the right tree. And maybe we just need to ask for a little help from the angels, and we can say, could you help me? And then they will put something in front of us that teaches us to get over our lesson a little faster if we hear it and if we see it. So Paleo was saying to Camelia, you don't have to run my life every place I walk, stand, or, you know, whether I'm in a stall, whether I'm in here, whether I'm out there. Just let me live and try not to run over the top of me. An angel wouldn't do that. An angel lets us do our own stuff, make our own mistakes, but will always not judge us for it and not hold us accountable, not make us feel guilty, and will gladly throw us the lines of the life raft and say, you need a little help out of this mess. Here's an idea. Why don't you try this? And if we don't grab a hold of that life rope, well, we're not going to get the help. You know, when somebody throws you a life rope, you know, you're drowning in water, you have to swim to it or grab it and say, pull me in. And that's how they work. They won't clunky, they won't jump in the water, strap the life raft to you and carry you out. That isn't really how it works. When there's life lessons to be learned, they're lessons for a reason. They need to be learned. So sometimes we need to kind of, they can't protect us from ourselves, just as Camelia could not protect Paleo from himself. He figured it out, ended up being happy. It's going to be just fine, I told her, and I think it will be. It's already gotten better. You are listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on Dream Vision Radio 7 Network.
What if your dog, cat, or horse could help you with your love life? What would they suggest? It's fun to think about and a wonderful way to conduct yourself. After all, animals know well how to love and invite us to love them unconditionally. That's a pretty great way to live life. Animals always communicate with our highest good as their central focus, even when sometimes we feel stymied or frustrated with their behavior. Visit laurarowleyhealer.com to book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading. Laura's readings and workshops help you find the part of you that's able to tune in and connect to your amazing animals. Laura Rowley believes we can all understand by listening differently. Book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading now by going to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LAURARROWLEY healer.com. Animal Connections with Laura Rowley is an intuitive show created for you to learn what it's like to talk to animals. Laura shares 20 years of experiences of being a pet psychic and healer every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, media partner for the Omega Institute. Our beloved animals share our lives and have amazing insights into our well-being, providing us with opportunities for personal growth once we truly begin to listen. It's fun to use animal wisdom to enhance our emotional and spiritual world. Who better than our furry friends to teach us the wisdom born of unconditional love?
Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles. Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
I'm back. This is Laura Rowley with Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it, as always. The show continues to grow, surprisingly, in leaps and bounds, and I'm always honored and amazed that I get to do this work to help bring the messages that angels want us to hear, and which does not make me an angel. It just makes me eager to spread the word because we have so much help in the world that we don't take, myself included. I don't always listen to my angels. So one of the angels that I get to hear a lot for on behalf of other people that I probably listen to better for other people than for myself is Archangel Raphael. So the word, in all the archangels, if you want to read about them online, it's really interesting. The word Raphael means God heals. That's what that word means. Each of their names refers to either usually Latin or Greek, ancient languages, that relate to how does this work? What is this angel's strength? What does he do for humanity? Like, what's his job? So they've all got kind of like kingdoms that they rule. So Archangel Raphael is a healer. So he's in charge of or designated to work on people's physical and emotional well-being. So I get to speak to an envoy that works within this realm quite frequently about how to heal someone that calls me because I'm a healer, right? So people are calling me in my healing practice to get some help with their animals or help with themselves personally often. And it's amazing. Like, I won't really actually know the answer to how to help the person, and I suddenly get this idea about something, and I'll know that an angel is sort of putting the idea to me so I could present it to the person that's called. And what they do with it is their business. You know, it's not for me to pound them with this information. It's for me to be like what I spoke earlier, where I throw sort of the lifeline in the water. And if they'd like to swim to it, that's because it feels good to them to do so, and it feels like it's healing. So the messages from an angel of Archangel Raphael's wisdom usually has to do with maintaining like and restoring harmony in the body and in the mind. So that's what healing really is restoring harmony and balance again, right? Getting rid of stressors and embracing harmony. Getting rid of illness and getting well. So a good case of that happened pretty recently. I was working with a woman that said, oh, for 2.5 years I've been working with my horse. And the horse's name is Banyan. And he was so lame when I got him. And he just got lamer. And we didn't even know what leg was wrong. We didn't know what was wrong with him. We looked here. We looked there. Was it, you know, his knee? Was it his ankle? They had x-rays, all kinds of stuff done. So, and it would always sort of be half of an answer like the vet wouldn't be able to tell you exactly what it was because it didn't seem to be that the x-rays really showed much. But yet clearly it was that joint and that leg. And just when we'd start to think, well, maybe we missed it and we should ultrasound it, it would change to a different leg, the lameness. So she said, I feel like I've been chasing lameness from one part to another part to another part. And you know, I'm really super frustrated, though I do think he's a lot better than he was 3 years ago. But, you know, it's been a mountain of information and medical help to get me this far. And I kind of want some perspective on this. So I asked Banyan if he could tell me what he thought was going on, or did he have an idea of this? So he showed me as clear as a bell that in his left hind leg, he was bitten by something that deposited a toxin in his leg. And I think it maybe was like a tick. It could have been a spider. Sometimes both of those can carry lots of diseases and toxins that are pretty harmful to people and animals. And he said, ever since that happened, I lost control sort of my left hind leg in terms of, you know, I could use it, but it was hard to use it. And because that one didn't work right, I started to sort of lean on the other ones differently, and I got all kinds of compensational injuries, which are very common in quadrupeds. So he continued then to tell me this happened, then this happened. Then it was my front right shoulder. Then my neck ached. In fact, it's hard for me to even use my neck in a certain way without feeling like I'm in a cough. So the more he just showed me a movie of these parts of him that hurt, and it would be like it would light up, I felt this angelic feeling of this is actually more about what Laura needs to learn about. Like, so I said to Banyan, we, of course, want to get you better, but is there something in this for Lauren? And he said, well, yes, I'm her teacher. I came here to teach her. It's clear as a bell, he said that. So I told Lauren that, and she starts to laugh, and she goes, oh, I knew you were going to say something like that. She said, she's decided to go to school to be an osteopathic physician. So osteopaths study, as I understand it, the skeleton and how the nervous system hangs off the skeleton and how it works or where it can dysfunctionally not work. And they try to mediate or heal that part of our body so that the nervous system doesn't feel pain or doesn't mess up the organs and just does everything smoothly. So apparently this initial bug bite, Lauren said, I remember this because he got a big infection and kind of like an abscessy area for several weeks. They couldn't get it cleared up, but she'd forgotten about it. Well, it turns out that the more I told her about what had bothered her, she had already sort of ignored that all of those little pieces went together over the last 2.5 years and had been treating each thing as if it were an individual incident instead of a systemic issue. So in osteopathic world, they try to be way more holistic. They don't look at one nerve. They think, how is this nerve not working with the spinal cord and affecting the whole being? So she said, oh, I was doing that for the last few years, but lately, because I've decided to go back to go to school and become an osteopath, I've applied, I've started to study systems. And I'm realizing that I actually was doing that, exactly what he said. Those were the areas I looked at in him. So the interconnectedness of a whole body was what she needed to start to study. So Banyan and I were open then to her asking him some questions that ultimately led her to figure out exactly what sort of systemic nervous system issue he had. And she was going to contact her vet after the conversation. She was thrilled because she kind of was putting two and two together with the wisdom that she had acquired in her very specific reading. So she felt like she got an enormous boost in her life because it was confirmation that what she wants to study, what's her passion, is what she should do. It seems like a big thing to do because it's going to take a lot of money and a lot of time to go do it. And she was feeling a little unworthy and maybe not smart enough, she told me. So there was Banyan being angelic, saying, ah, come on. Let's have a little self-esteem here. Get cracking. Go for it, girl. You know, you actually have figured this hard thing out. She just hadn't realized until we spoke that she had. So that was a very cool and wonderful thing that, you know, an angelic being helped her know and feel strongly that she was on her path and that she was headed towards the home stretch. Now just go enjoy it. Stop being critical of yourself. Stop worrying that it's not the right thing, because we talked about that. And I said, you know, that never gets you anywhere. Just go do it. And until it tells you something else, tells you to do something else, you'll be fine. So she laughs. She goes, well, there I am cross-checking myself again. And there was Banyan saying, yeah, she's been doing that for 3 years, and it really didn't get her anywhere. So thanks for helping with this. And he was kind of funny. He was very wise and cool. Another interesting angelic story of some self-healing that happened. There was this cool little terrier mix named Brandy, and he was kind of a rebellious creature. So not what you would think of as angelic, kind of like Zach in our previous story. He was a troublemaker, and Michelle would sit down after a long day's work. She'd make herself this beautiful meal, and she'd think, oh, thank goodness, I'm going to enjoy my meal. This is really what I want. This is what I need to sit down and have dinner. And Brandy would stare at her and bark the minute she sat down. She was mad. She's like, fix this. Tell me what he is doing. I'd love this dog. I'd do anything for this dog, right? But, you know, what's going on with him? So it was weird because I didn't totally get it myself for a while. Brandy said, well, she said she wanted help. She's been praying for this. So I told her that. And she said, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I think she was doubting me and thinking I was making stuff up or whatever. And so I said, no, he's pretty firm on that. Let me just ask him some more questions because I don't really get it either. So I asked him some more, and he said, well, she's been praying about eating right. And she's not eating right. So I'm barking at her to let her know that she's not eating right. She wanted help. So when I said it that way to her, she got really quiet, and she said, oh, this is very weird. And she said, I don't even know what to think. She has an eating disorder, and she doesn't really talk about it very often to people. But she was making herself a meal based on her cravings and what she wanted to eat versus what her doctor and her nutritionist had told her to eat. So her eating disorder was causing her to go down the wrong path, and she was sitting down and eating all the foods that were highly sugary, and she's a diabetic and very overweight. And so she said, I think I have an eating disorder, and I think I need help, and I've been actually praying that somehow I'll find the strength to get help. So I said, your dog knows that. Like, because he's of the angelic realm. So he's barking at you to warn you that you're on the wrong track when you eat. And she sobbed. She was so grateful for the help. I mean, she was really grateful for the help. And I don't know the end of that story, but you know how it is. Whenever we acknowledge to ourselves and let our ego down and we say, you know, I need help. I keep repeating the same mistakes about myself and for myself. Whenever we do that, help will appear somehow. You know, we'll either take ourselves to it or it'll find us. And that's what angels do, is they throw down little hints to us, little bombs, if you will, that go off in front of us that someone says something and it's exactly what we need to hear. When it's your animal doing it, they're so intimate with us in our real world and in our daily lives that we hear it differently. It's not our sister saying, for instance, let's, you know, not to pick on poor Michelle, but let's say her sister called her up and said, Michelle, you eat too much and you're not listening to your doctor. And blah, 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 blah. You know, you might get mad at your sister and go, oh, shut up. I can't talk to you right now. I'm busy and you're hurting my feelings. You're always so mean. You hang up. But if your dog does it, you all of a sudden go, this is really weird behavior and it's really got me intrigued. So all of a sudden, you're energetically hooked. Why did this happen? So the angels often work this way, and animals are a perfect modality for that because they get us hooked by our heart because we love them so much. We want to know, where is this going wrong? What is the problem? So lots of times when you have something really bothering you about your animal, think to yourself, if this animal were an angel, what's the upshot of what he's telling me? See what I mean? And you'll see it differently. The phone call from your sister, you know, nagging you, maybe didn't do it, but the animal showing you time and time again through their behavior that they mostly want your attention either away from something you're doing or towards themselves teaches you a lot about what the angels are hoping for you to gain. So be reflective and ponder the repetitive incidents that occur to you with your animals, and you'll start to see themes that if you read about the archangels, there's seven different themes that they work with. Are one of those themes chiming loudly for you? You'll suddenly know if it is. You start to explore, and then the angels amplify this all the more, and suddenly you gain insight into yourself, which is really what they want. They're messengers of God. So insight into ourself always makes us happier, makes us promote good, and makes good, come across the land. And that's what angels are for. So thank you for listening today. I appreciate it infinitely. My name is Laura Rowley, and you have been listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. I'm on every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can listen online or to your mobile devices, and I look forward to our next program. Thank you.
Thank you for joining Animal Connections with Laura Rowley. Heard every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Join Laura next time to discover how you can embrace the wisdom flowing from your loved animals. Communication starts with an intention to understand. Each week, Laura helps you find your own unique ability to create a better understanding of yourself as taught through the loving eyes of your animals. To connect with Laura Rowley, go to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LaurarowleyHealer.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.